some reason we have it that seas are going to part all the time, that quail are going to fly in 3 feet from the ground. We're going to wake up and find bread every morning. And if God did not do that, then he's not working. But I'm going to tell you right now, folks, God is in every minute detail in your life, in the lives of the people of this city, of this county, of this state, in every little of this country and of this world, folks. Every little detail. Science proves time and time again that there is a God, there's a creator that created something that we cannot fathom the intelligence that it took. I mean, phenomenal. So don't look at just the surroundings and say, well, God, you didn't part the waters for me. I didn't see a giant fall to the ground. How about the God who created the stones that brought the giant to the ground? Or the God that gave the boy the talent to take a slingshot and hit a man between the eyes and bring him down? And I'll tell you this, sometimes God's expecting you to get off your butt. And most of the time that's the case. We want God to get out and part the sea, but if Moses hadn't raised his hands, nothing would have happened. They'd have perished on that beach. So just don't look at the circumstances. Well, God, I don't see what you're doing. So many people, well, God, you didn't answer this week. You must not be real. No, you have absolutely no faith. You misunderstand what faith really is. See, it's easy for us to believe there's a God when everything's going the way we thought it should. It's easy to believe when, all right, you know, the elections went the way I wanted. My job's going the way I want. This is going the way I want. There's a God. But the second you find opposition, here, I'm going to tell you what happens, folks. When we get accustomed to everything just always going good, you're always happy. Eventually you become numb to being happy. You don't. And I know this is going to sound like, what are you talking about? I heard a song the other day. It says, sometimes the darkness reveals the light. It's the truth. How would Adam and Eve had known what death was, or what life was, for that matter, if they didn't know what death was? We miss the obvious questions to ask. How did they know what death was? Because we've taught for a long time now, nothing died in the garden. Okay, so then vultures evolved. Buzzards are designed to eat rotten flesh. They are nasty creatures. God created things on the land, in the earth, in the sea, birds of the air, to devour rotten things. So my belief is they had a firm grasp on what death was. They fully understood what to die was. But they got comfortable. I think that's what took place in the garden. Who knows how long they were in the garden? We've taught they were there for about a week, maybe two, maybe a year. Boy, that was a real quick turnaround then, because next couple chapters later we read of Cain killing Abel, and there were so many people on the earth at the time that Cain said, anybody that sees me in these cities will kill me. Should be another clue. We got comfortable. Just take the time and realize God's working. Yeah, I know things look dark. They always look dark. For crying out loud, poor old David, it was always so dark in his world that he said, there's a shadow of death in my path all the time. But I'm not going to fear it. Because we forget that you have to have some light to create a shadow. We're seeing God do some amazing things in this in this county, folks, I see God moving. And I'm going to tell you, God called us back here for this county. He used Angela to say, what about the people of Morrow County? He said, go back to Morrow County. God, I'm good with Onslow. But that's not where God called me. It's where he sent me, but then he called me back to here for a purpose. I know the purpose. Folks, when they have 14 arrests for drugs. Amen. I'm going to tell you right now, we're not stopping. We're not stopping. We're going to take on a few more things. The devil is going to get set on his haunches, and then we're just going to beat him to oblivion. Yes, I'm feeling a little violent. I was one of those that had to come down out of the rafters last night. Oh, but you cannot lose sight of what God is doing. All right, so what? He didn't part the seas. Walk on the water. I don't see where Jesus ever parted the sea. I see where he got out and walked on the water, or he told the storm to be quiet. Oh, but Jesus, you got to do it this way. God ain't going to do it the way you want him to. Do you know what Israel wanted? They wanted a king coming riding on a white horse with armies behind him. Do you know what God sent them? A baby in a manger in a totally messed up marriage. That's the only way I can put it. The girl is pregnant, and she's not supposed to be. The husband-to-be is going to have her stoned quietly. And God comes down and says, don't do it. That baby's from me. Boy, how would you like to be raising that baby? Yeah, you think you had problems. You got the King of Glory in your household all the time. Well, anyhow, praise the Lord. But just don't be looking at the circumstances of things. Keep your eyes on God and what he's called you to do. Do not deviate to the left or the right of those things. There are times and seasons for many things. But there's things we stay the course on. We don't back down from. Coming to church is one of them. Oh, but Pastor, I've been hurt. Yeah, everybody in here has. And it's been in church. You know why? Because we dare to love. It's going to happen from time to time. Because we're people. Do we do it intentionally? I find out if you're doing it intentionally, we'll deal with you. That's all there is to it. I've seen people that done that. I'm not into abuse. You can ask Angela, one of the most hated genres of movies that I will not watch are those that show abuse of people. You know, there was a movie called The Help. I hated that movie. I despised that movie. Even all of it. I despise it. Because of the abuse that was taking place. Because I see it today. I see abuse of authority. I see abuse of who we are, who we're supposed to be. I got one friend on Facebook blasting, call your pastor, pastor, because her husband's a pastor. I've never mandated you call me that. You do it out of respect. Big difference. I had a pastor said, you need to call me pastor. Shoot, I was 11. What did I know? I mean, I really didn't know my dad's full name, so. But you know, there's so much stuff that if we will stand and we will see what God will do, we'll see where he'll take us to new heights, to new lands, possibly. Just saying, you can have all kinds of adventures in God. Meet new people and really never leave your county. Seriously, look around and how many people in this county do you really know? Unless you work in an office where you see a lot of them. There's so many new faces. We played my old high school or my old school. Not one person in the gym looked familiar. Not one person on the coaching. Nobody. Of course, my school's about triple the size it was when I was in school, but that's aside the point. But don't forget, He is God of this city. There's no demon sitting on the throne. We put God on the throne and we'll defend Him. Amen. And let's bless the tithe and offering. Hallelujah. Father in heaven, we thank You and we praise You for this beautiful day, Lord. We thank You for Your sincere love towards us, Father. And Lord, we thank You for the promises that You have made us in Your word that said if we were faithful to bring You the tithes and the offerings, then You'd rebuke the devourer for our sake and that our harvest will not fall in the fields, but it will be taken in and brought into our storehouses where there will be packed. They will be packed. They will overflow. Lord, we thank You and praise You for Your promises, Lord. We trust You in all things. And we present to You our tithe and our offerings. We bless them and thank You for them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated this morning. And junior church is dismissed. You know, this morning, Miss Tricia, she's obviously not here. She called Angela or sent Angela a message, said that she wasn't feeling well and wasn't going to be here. And Angela says, well, I've got two songs that were for her. On which one should I do? I said, improvise, adapt, and overcome. That's what Marines do. Technology goes out, improvise, adapt, and overcome. We just keep singing. Hallelujah. We don't. You know, there was a time in life we didn't have these things. So I hope you brought your Bible today. We've been talking about the authority of the believer, folks, about taking authority. Now, I want to tell you something. There's things you do not have authority over. You need to understand what they are. You have authority over your family in the spiritual realm. I do not have authority over my parents. I mean, they are my parents, and I can pray and stand with them and bind things, but I cannot tell them what to do. And as my children grow and leave the home and start their own families, I go to the role of being the advisor. I can give them advice, but I can't tell them what they have to do. And I've tried to train my children where they make their own decisions, which was something that was denied for me to be able to make my own decision, right or wrong. And I've let my boys make their decisions. And they've realized a couple of them probably weren't the smartest things they could have done. But they did them. And they dealt with whatever consequences came from them. And that's why I can honestly stand up and say I trust their decisions now. I trust they will listen to the Holy Spirit and take authority in their lives. And so, and as such, I can pray and join with my children. I can, and because I'm your pastor, I can pray and join with you and take an authority as well. See, what we fail to realize is one of us puts 1,000 demonic forces to flight. Two of us can put 10. That is amazing, folks. Oh, but Jesus, I don't know. I'm not strong enough to stand. Okay, seriously? He said you're one believer and you have enough power to stand against 1,000 demons. Time to man up. Time to grow up. Start understanding your authority and walk it. Don't keep backing, going up to it and backing away. You know, I will say one thing about this basketball team. You know, he's in the fifth grade, and last week they scrimmaged against the sixth graders. And there was about four of the sixth graders that towered over Justin, and Justin's one of the taller ones on his team. These boys didn't have to jump to stuff them. They just reached up. But what I saw and was so really was amazed at was these boys did not hesitate to go up against them big boys. They were towering. They just kept hammering and hammering and hammering at them. Now, they didn't beat them, but they weren't afraid of them. We look at things in our lives, oh, God, I'm so afraid of that. You will have to face your fear. You will have to face your fears. Oh, but I gave it to Jesus. Yeah. And he says, I don't want you to be afraid of it. There's things I've made my boys do. I'm afraid of that. Now, some of them I'll do because maybe there's just a little mean, ornery streak in me. You know, the whole spider thing in the shower. But there are things, and you'll hear my boys, I will tell them, you've got to face the fear. It's not going to hurt you. This is not going to hurt you. You will actually possibly cause more harm to yourself by trying to avoid it. When I was afraid of the dark, I caused more harm to myself because I would run through whatever was dark without looking to see what was in there. As a child, that's what I did. But when I became a man, I set away childish things, as Paul said. And I stopped. And I allowed my night vision to open up and started realizing I can see fine. I go around the house turning off lights. I walk through the house with the lights off. Now, there are the occasional times I'll find a misplaced chair, which is a pet peeve of mine. Chairs need to be pushed back in, primarily because it's my toes that pay the price. And one of the things, if you remember here being at the CRACE training, what Greg Perry was telling us about, you know, when you're walking around inside a house, if there's somebody outside your house and you turn all the lights inside your house, who can see who? They see you. You can't see them at all. I have no security lights around my house. Oh, but Pastor, you need a security light. Why? They can see me. I'm not the hunted. I changed my view of who I am because of authority. Those 2.5 acres belong to me. And if you weren't invited and you're there after dark, you're trespassing and, as far as I'm concerned, trying to hurt my family. And I will go on the offensive because that's my property. This is my town. This is my county. This is my state. Are you following me? When we take the authority and quit being the hunted and become the hunter, we're no longer victims. But neither should we victimize. See, there are a lot of people, they go from being victims to victimizers. And God told the Israelites after they had left Egypt, he said, when you see a stranger in your country, do not treat them bad. Remember, you were once a stranger in a foreign country. We have got so much stuff that we need to take authority over, but not abuse the authority. There are some issues with law enforcement. If you were watching the news this week, you saw 7 police officers arrested by the FBI. There's some problems. They need to be dealt with. But there's many, many, many more good officers than there are the bad ones. There are some good politicians who start out wanting to go after things, but we realize they fall prey to the swamp. Because it's just the way it's always been done. Well, let's change it. We need to take authority over things in the spiritual realm. We have authority as believers when we pray. When we pray, things do happen. And if we don't understand how to pray, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in and prays through us. Because the Holy Spirit knows how to pray. Now there's people that have abused that. They can't pray without speaking in tongues. What good are you doing anybody? Absolutely none, according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He said, I'd rather speak one word in a language you know and understand than a whole phrase in tongues. Because my job is to build you up, is to lift you up and to strengthen you, is what Paul is trying to get through to these people. We're not going to get into 1 Corinthians today, but I want you to start understanding your authority and where it comes in. Now you have to understand the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes out and begins executing these things in your life, in the lives of your family, in the lives of your friends, and people that have asked you to pray with them and believe with them. The Holy Spirit goes forth and begins doing what the will of God is, because the Holy Spirit is listening straight to the throne of God. He's tied right in. God said this because he's one. I know that just totally boggles our mind, but Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit are all one. They were totally connected. They have the same makeup. They have the same purpose. Jesus didn't come down here for his own purpose. He came down here for the purpose of the Father, because he is part of the Father. He wanted to do the will of his Father that sent him. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, let's go way back, shall we? Yeah, pull out my glasses here. I want to show you a little something. Genesis chapter 6, go to verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Okay, first off, you've heard me talk about the 120 years. From this point until the flood started was 120 years. Not that God was limiting us to 120 years. I can't find one person in the Bible who lived to be just 120 years. Most of them blew 120 years away. And then after, about the New Testament time, people didn't live real long, period. I've been watching a show, and this guy, it was all based on historical things, and he says, I'm 18 years old, my life is half over, and I haven't done a thing. I'm sitting here, 36 is old? Yes, you are. But God did not restrict us to 120 years, did he? No. He said, you're going to die. Sin is what kills us. It decays our body. Some of us live to be 100. I was talking with a gal last night. She said, next week my grandma is going to be 100 years old. And the guy that was standing there talking with us, he said, you know, he said, as long as I still have control of my bowels and I can still walk, I'm good to be 100. But if that's the case, Lord, take me home. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm like, you know, if 100 years old is what God wants, I want to be able to walk, and I want control of my functions. And otherwise, Lord Jesus, I'll go stand post at the gates. That's where Marines go anyhow. And so we see that 120 years there. Now, The first part is what we want to look at. He said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. My spirit, if you notice, all that's capitalized. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, in the captions of mine, it says, the breath, the Holy Spirit that gives us the breath of life. I disagree with this, all based on what I was telling you a little bit earlier. There had to be death. There was people dying at this point. When God said this, there were people who had already died. So the breath of life was already leaving them. He said, my spirit shall not abide with man forever. That's what the word strive. Live within man, live with man forever. What I want to point out to you folks is Adam had the Holy Spirit. Noah. They all had the Holy Spirit living with them. I don't know that he was living in them as the Holy Spirit does today as vessels, because the Holy Spirit really couldn't, because they were just merely flesh. What Jesus did on the cross ratified who we are so that the Holy Spirit can dwell within us. We now became a temple. We were not a temple in the beginning. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Back then, he dwelt on the earth. As a matter of fact, if you read, the Bible will tell you straight off the fact the Holy Spirit was here hovering over the face of the earth the whole time. But now, and that's the way the Holy Spirit would have been back then. He would have been with the people. The job of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of what is wrong, to guide us, to lead us into all truths. Well, Lord, what went wrong? Adam and Eve ate of the fruit. Cain killed Abel. We got angels making babies with women and giants. And the Bible says that the earth was full of violence at that time. And that every flesh, to and include animals, was violating their purpose. You can ignore the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't. But you can. You can ignore the Holy Spirit. And that's what man was choosing to do rather than listen. Well, because it's easier, isn't it? It would have been so much easier for me last night to have just hunted that referee down, which, by the way, there were several people there who had said there were complaints from last year on this ref of being one-sided. And this was people that were hosting the event. Just saying. But there was a part of me, just like it was in Justin and every one of those boys, when they saw the obvious, we just wanted to deal with it. However, the Holy Spirit reminded me, that's not right. What example would we be showing our children by going and addressing this, like in that manner? There is a way to do things. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. It wouldn't have been good for me. Wouldn't have been good for them. Wouldn't have been good for this body. The Holy Spirit reminded me of that, and I was able to come back down out of the rafters and speak sense to my son. Because we went through it with Jesse in football. There were things we were like, are you serious? And I know you coaches, what's going on? But you see, the Holy Spirit was here then. That is how Noah was capable of living a blameless life. It's how Methuselah, how Enoch. See, we forget all these other people. Noah wasn't the only one. He was just the youngest at 500 years of age. Adam chose to ignore the Holy Spirit. The very being, the very presence of God put here to help him. He chose to ignore the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's primary role in any believer's life. That's what it is. It's not to make you roll around on the floor. It's not to do stupid things. It is to help you live a blameless life. Are you going to live spotless? No. We're fallible. That's where God's grace and His mercy kick in, and they help us. They help us to overcome this stuff. We cannot go back to living by the law. The law was devoid of the Holy Spirit. Back in those days, the Holy Spirit would come upon people and leave. That's the way it went. They're in 1 Samuel, it's either 10 or 17, I don't remember, but don't look it up. You read where Saul was out and about and he came upon a group of prophets. And the Bible says they were standing around prophesying. Now, today I get a little concerned when I see a group of people standing around prophesying to each other. It gets a little weird. But if you look up the word, it's nada, and it means to speak or prophesy, basically. But I cannot remember, cannot figure out where I found this, but another breakdown of that word says they were babbling. They were talking gibberish. What I believe was taking place is the presence of God had come upon them, and they were indeed praying in tongues. And Saul came upon them, King Saul came into them, and the presence of God was so strong, he began speaking in tongues. And that is what it says. He began prophesying as well. Because if you'll look, when we get into 1 Corinthians here, you'll see where the Apostle Paul talked about prophecy being a gift of the Holy Spirit. Not saying, you know, this time next week, Miss Sherry, God's going to bless you with a Rolls Royce. That's not prophecy. She's not believing for a Rolls Royce. I know things they're believing for. That's what God's going to minister to them, not bless me, bless me, bless me. The things they're believing for will bless them, and that's what God's going to minister to them. But that's the problem. We've gotten prophecy connected with prosperity. And that should not be so. Even Kenneth Hagin, before he passed away, wrote a book called The Midas Touch, in which he began correcting these people who were teaching strictly on prosperity and not about what the purpose of the gospel was. I just learned of this book today. And he took them aside and he corrected them. But you see, that's not what prophecy is. Prophecy is something that will speak into your life. I don't claim to be a prophet, but yet there have been times I've spoke things and just said something to somebody, and they said, you know what happened this week? The very thing you said took place. So yeah, we have got to pay attention to what God is saying. I do not want to be, I am not claiming to be a prophet. I'm a pastor. But does God do that from time to time? Yes, He does. When I pray, sometimes God shows me something that's not even been told yet. I don't know why I prayed it. I just know I'm touching somebody and boom, I saw something. I began praying last week for somebody and God began showing me a 10-legged spider. And there may have been more than one, but what she was dealing with was a spirit of witchcraft. So, we've got to pay attention to what God does say, because the purpose of prophecy is to help us live a stronger, victorious life. It's not to derail us. I laugh so many times when people get up and say, well, Jesus is returning, boom, here. You don't know the day or the hour. Yeah, you may be able to come close to a season. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut from time to time. So stop the nonsense and get back to what we're called to do. If you're a prophet, God has a purpose for you. And it's not to walk around impressing people with tricks. It's to bring a word of encouragement to somebody who is in need of it. I knew a man who used to give people, it became kind of a joke. New people in the church, they got a word that day. But the problem is, a lot of them were probably right on. However, the people weren't always saved, didn't understand any of this stuff, and they never came back. Now, I believe the purpose God gave him was so he could go pray for them, not give them a word. Just like God shows me something to pray. That's the biggest role of the prophet today. Back in the Old Testament time, you didn't want to see a prophet, folks. Everybody goes running to prophet so-and-so today because they got a word of prosperity for you. When you saw a prophet coming in the old days, you ran because he wasn't bringing good word to you. You were in rebellion against God most of the time. And he was saying, God's going to clean your clock if you don't clean up. That was the role of the prophet. That's why they were hated. Even old Ahab, you ever read, it's hilarious when he, there goes my enemy, old bringer of trouble to my life, looking at Elijah. But he couldn't touch him. And most of the time, and Elijah was a prophet and brought forth some prophecies, but most of the time he was just saying, Ahab, repent, or your end is near. But he didn't listen. Jump over to John 16:13. I'll just hit that real quick. We looked at this last week, but I want to just graze it again today. It says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, I want to point out something, folks. He said all truth. The role of the Holy Spirit is not just to reveal to you the Word of God. What the word really means. So many people try to take it straight up as face value. There are some things you need to take just straight as face value. That's all there is to that. People try to over-spiritualize things and then they get goofy. There's a few things that recent trends that I think were goofy. I never jumped on board with them. But people did. If it helped them, praise God. But there are some things you just take as face value. But then there's other things. The Holy Spirit will show you the truth that was meant inside that. Like the truth of Jesus saying, if you don't eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no part of me. He lost disciples that day. What happened? They didn't know the truth. They took it as face value. There are things that were said you take as face value and things you take in the interpretation of it. Now, but he said, I will, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. He'll guide you into investment truth. He'll guide you whether you buy a new car or not, whether you get a new job or not, whether you buy a house or not. The Holy Spirit will guide you into all of that. I've had the Holy Spirit lead me and guide me and tell me things. Now, I knew one person who tried to start a business, and he said, oh, I just, you know, that person, they've got sin in their life. I don't feel I'm supposed to work. Oh, for crying out loud, if you got a business, you don't get a choice on whether you're to judge somebody for their sin or not. It's not my job to judge you on sin. First off, it's your job. You look into your life. Well, I'm going to boycott this business because they do this, this, and this with the, you know, with the LGBTs and, you know, and they support this, they give money here. They all do, folks. You're going to boycott Walt Disney. You're going to boycott Coca-Cola. You're going to boycott Pepsi. Get over it. They give to churches too. Oh, by the way, go to Walmart. I'm going to boycott Walmart. They give to all this stuff too. You just got to ask. That's all there is to it. Don't let what you... Don't be judging people on sin. That's not your job. That's the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will say, do not go do that job. You need to listen. I did have one. I got one right now. That I'm just, a couple months ago, the Holy Spirit said, sing, ding, 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 don't go, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. So I'm not going to do it. And in times past, like I said, I did have one, and I wish I had listened. Because it cost me money. But the Holy Spirit is an integral part of our life. Don't turn down that road. Don't do this. Do this. You don't understand why you did it, but you did it. And you come to find out, boy, you look like a genius on the other side. Oh, you know, poor old Isaac, you know, in the Bible. Everybody else is in drought and famine. And ain't nobody planting anything because there's no rain. Isaac sows, he rents fields and he plants. His crops come in and he reaps a hundredfold harvest. Every seed he planted, he got 100 back. He looked like a genius on the other side. But would it have worked for anybody else? Probably not. Because that's what God told him to do. Well, you know, I just feel like I'm supposed to go start a business. What business are you supposed to start? Well, I think I'm going to do what you do. You probably can't do what I do. It takes a lot of years to learn stuff. Well, maybe I'm going to jump out and do this. Listen, starting your own business is scary. You better be ready for famine. I'm just going to tell you straight up. You'd better be ready to go hungry for a little bit. You better be ready to call your bill collectors. Because those days will be there. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into all things. I try not to jump out of the boat unless the Holy Spirit says, get out of the boat. And when the Holy Spirit tells me to do something, I do it. And when the Holy Spirit tells me to do something, I don't have to spend a month in prayer and fasting. I'm just going to tell you straight up and honest. There are people, oh, don't do anything until you've prayed and fasted for a month. Well, typically what I find out is the Holy Spirit is in the moment, right now, telling you what to do. He says, jump, you jump. You don't argue. Why? Well, because whatever's about to fly across the floor might just take your feet off. And if you didn't jump when he said jump, oh, but I got to fast and pray whether I'm supposed to do this or not. For crying out loud. Can't tell you how many times God has told us to do something and we've acted and the people just stood there and they said, how did you know? How did you know what we had this need? We didn't. God said to do something and we did it. Whether it be individually or as a church. God knows when to do things. And when he tells you to do it, and you need to understand this, folks, discipline is the instant willing obedience to orders. I know this from many, 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 many push-ups. And one dead mosquito. Instant willing obedience to orders. It's real simple. God says do something, you do it right then and there. You don't wait. You don't argue with God. Oh, but God, I don't want to. I told God I didn't want to do this. However, thank you. Praise his holy name. He's merciful. And the 4 or 5 hours that I spent arguing with him, he kept me up another 4 or 5 hours reminding me of how he told me this was going to happen. And the next day, we started the ball rolling, trying to figure out what we needed to do. And praise God, it did. A month later, we rented our first building, and then we kept moving on. And God kept opening opportunities. We got in that building. A month later, they said, hey, we're going to lease this the whole thing to somebody else. You got to move. And the owner felt so bad, he said, I'm going to cut your rent in half if you'll move to the front side of my building. Well, I wanted the front side the whole time. So we moved there, and that's where many of you found us. You didn't find us on Main Street with big flashy signs. We were told not to advertise in the Shopper's Compass. Paper is dead. How many of you found us in the Shopper's Compass? There's a few of you in here. Even the Amish see the Shopper's Compass. I did say that right, didn't I? Shopper's Compass, yeah. I thought I said Copper Shumpus. No. We are trying to do things without the aid of the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit, He will tell you when to do something. God told me after I had got off within the hour, well, 2 hours, because it took 2 hours to drive home, of talking with Bill Louie about renting that other spot for a little bit more and leaving us some money to renovate. He just wouldn't agree to it. The Holy Spirit said, drive down this road. Turn in this driveway. I turned in this driveway. There was a car sitting on the other side of the road with the left turn signal on. I turned right. The guy followed me in, got out of his car. Turned out it was the owner. In years. I think it's 5 years. Four. Yeah, five. Four. In 4 years, this building will be totally ours. Paid for. 4 years. Because I listened to the Holy Spirit and turned in this junkyard. I'm telling you, those of you that didn't get to see it, whoo, doggy. It was. But it was all because listening to the Holy Spirit. The board was on board with this. They said, we got to move. We got to grow. Pastor Dosick said, you got to grow. You need more room. And he always told me, he said, just go bigger than what you need. Well, we got more things going, but we got to make room for kids. That's what we're working on that for. But you have to listen to the Holy Spirit and everything. He will tell you all truth. Everything that is right. That is what truth is. That which is right. Lord, do I do this? Do I take this deal? Do I not? You have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Holy Spirit isn't carrying a club. He speaks softly. That's why it's so easy to ignore Him. He's not standing there demanding you listening to Him. That's the devil 9 times out of 10. The other time it might be you just wanting it. And by the way, God doesn't have anything with you against you getting things you want. So long as they don't take place of Him. Now I'm going to briefly go over Acts 1:8. It said Jesus told people to tarry in Jerusalem. And He said, and when the Spirit comes, He will give you power to be a witness. And we went over this last week. I want to point out something, folks. 500 people heard Him say that. 380 left. The room they were in, we all keep picturing this tiny little room called the upper room. It held 500. And there was only 120 left when the Holy Spirit came in. And the reports were it sounded like a mighty rushing wind. And when people looked around, they were covered in like a tongue of fire. And they began speaking in tongues. Now, in this particular case, it was tongues of native languages of people. And they went out from there, being empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they began testifying and witnessing of the miraculous, wondrous works of God to people in their own tongue. That beats the pants off the Rosetta Stone. Just get filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, next thing you know, you're speaking French, German, Italian. All because the Holy Spirit, you have no clue what you're saying either. But they do, and they heard the wondrous works of God because they began marveling at how these simpletons, that's what they said when they said, aren't these Galileans? They were calling them simpletons. Fishermen didn't actually have to be all that smart. Come on, you throw a net over in the water, you pull up fish. How hard is it? They weren't marveling at their robes and how well-dressed and versed they were. They were marveling at how simple these men were, and yet they were hearing the gospel in another language. Because I have actually heard it said that people who are, generally, when you hear somebody who can speak more than two languages, they're very intelligent. Because it's that difficult keeping things straight. I can say yes and no in a couple, and I should have learned no first off. Would have saved me a lot of time and trouble. But now, let's go over here real quick. I don't want to stay too long on it. Acts chapter 2. Let's go to verse 17. Peter, after everybody said, hey, these guys are drunk, and Peter's like, they ain't drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Stands up and he says, and he starts quoting the prophet Joel, which is another amazement. Peter did not have access to the scripture. He memorized what Jesus had taught and what he had heard. He memorized the scripture without having the ability to read it. Because more than likely, he couldn't read. More than likely, and I about promise you, he didn't have access to it. And it says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Now, we've always joked around in the body of Christ, you know, if you're still having visions, you're a young man. If you're having dreams, because you're sleeping all the time. Well, I'll be honest with you. I think it's because dreams require more mature interpretation. Because if we were to interpret every dream we had as being from God, whoo, doggy. I don't know what God was trying to tell me when I'd beat up my neighbor every Friday night. He was just one of those guys that annoyed the socks off of me. And we'd have pizza, and I'd blame it on the pizza. The truth of the matter was, God was showing me I needed to deal with something about me. It wasn't about him, it was about me. Didn't get that then. You can see the immaturity there. God wants me to beat up my neighbor. I think I might just go do that. I mean, after all, in base housing, the walls aren't thick. I could hear him and his wife arguing. And all I do is take out the medicine cabinet to get in it. That's how bad they really are. But God said he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Men and women will prophesy. This was unheard of. Women did not get they didn't get that. They weren't allowed to. They weren't allowed to know the word. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. God was telling us he was going to pour out his spirit, and people would speak. Prophecy means, again, goes right back, not to necessarily speaking, in a week, a stranger's going to come to you and he's going to give you $1,000. That's not really, I mean, if God tells you something like that, then you better be looking to God. Quit going up to, hey, are you a stranger? You got money for me? Because that's what we do, isn't it? God says, I'm going to bless you. You start looking at everybody as being your blessing. That person, that, instead of looking to God. Because I promise you, the people that God sends to bless you usually can't afford it. And you won't take it. But the problem is, if God told them to do it, they had better do it, because God told them to sow a seed into your life and he was going to bless them. I'll tell you, years ago, God told us to give a seed. It was $1,000. Mind you, I made $700 a month. $1,000 seed. Man, I'd have killed to have had $1,000 again. We had, every penny I'd spent in savings, we blew on getting some furniture and getting a house set up because, well, as I later found out, the housing allowance wasn't what it was supposed to be. I thought it was going to be $400 a month. It was $4 a month. Turned out really beneficial. Yeah, I didn't find that out until 2 months into my lease. And then it was like, oh, dear God, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? God said, go get on base housing. Went down base, oh, we're full. We'll put you on the list. And here I was, ping, on the bottom of the list. But I'm going to tell you, we sowed seed, we prayed, and we believed God. We get a call, was it a week later, 2 weeks? Within 2 weeks, they said, we've got a quick vacancy. It's yours if you want it. I'm at the bottom of the list. I mean, there's guys that outrank me above me. But we've got a vacancy. If you want it, it's yours. Can I go look at it? I'm saying, God, please let it be the one by itself, away from people. No, it was in right in the middle of everybody. But since my electric bill was paid, oh, yeah, and it's all electric heat and air conditioning, I praise God, we took it. Now we had to get out of our lease. My platoon sergeant needed a place. Landlord let us trade out. He gave me my deposit, and that was that. God worked it out. But anyhow, God told us to sow that seed. We didn't have it, folks. I'm telling you, we did not have the money to do it. I sold my car, and we cashed in some savings bonds. We sowed that seed. And to this day, I will tell you right now, it was one of the smartest things we ever did. Sowing that seed. Because God continues to pour out blessing. Because we listen to the Holy Spirit. Not because we listen to the preaching of a man. Because I was like, ain't no way. I'm not doing it. I've been down this road before. I've been in these lines before. I'm not doing it. And I'm sitting there. And were you in the sound booth with me? I think, you know, yeah, you were on the platform. She was still singing up there. And she will testify, I'm not one who's going to jump in a line to give money away. And there I came up the aisle. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. This is how I knew it was God. There was another Marine coming up the other aisle. He was a staff sergeant. E6, I'm E4. He's got kids. He's got more money than me. I looked over and saw, okay, maybe I'm not. Because there was only one more. God, there was only so many people. And he looked over at that guy and he said, not you. Crap. It is me. I told him, I have no idea how we're going to do this, but we're going to do it. Well, we did it. God worked it all out. Took my car to a used car lot. I said, here's what I want out of it. They gave me a check. I gave them my car. Wasn't even a year later, I saw the car sitting on the side of the road. I said, thank you, Jesus. But it was my Firebird. My redneck mobile. Jacked up big tires in the back. God will send out His Spirit and fill us, folks. But the Holy Spirit's purpose is not to make a spectacle. I'm going to wrap up here for today. We'll just keep moving on in it. The Holy Spirit is not to be made a sideshow. This is proved in the fact that when Simon the sorcerer approached the apostles, he says, I want this power. See, he wanted to make money off of it. And they refused to pray for him. Today we've got people, that's why they have services, so they can make a spectacle of the Holy Spirit. When I think, me personally, when we disrespect the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, we just spit in the face of God Almighty. You would stand a better chance of walking away spitting in my wife's face. But you're not. Because that's how much the Holy Spirit means to God. or else he would have never said, you can talk, Jesus would have said, you can talk about me all you want, and you can talk about my Father, but don't you dare talk about the Holy Spirit or blaspheme. Folks, I think there's a lot of people blaspheming the Holy Spirit. There's gifts. We're going to get into those and the purposes of them. But they are never were intended to be sideshows. The Holy Spirit is our power to be godly people, if we will only listen. All right, let's stand. Just a reminder, we do have a fellowship meal and war on the floor afterwards. Folks, we're going to, I feel God has led me to, we're going to tackle another facet of particularly what's affecting this county, and that is sexual perversion. Incest, molestation, sex trafficking. If you were not aware of it, Ohio is in the top ranks of sex trafficking, those being used. Oh, I don't see it. Yeah, you're just blind. You've got your head turned and you refuse to look at it. The truth of the matter is, we need to stand against this. There's so many children in this school district being molested by people at home, and people have no idea what's going on. There's been a few of them I've learned of, a few that I learned of that I went to school with that I didn't know. I just thought, that person was always a little strange. Well, if that's going on, of course they're going to act strange. We're going to take that on. I remember somebody saying once, you know, oh, Morrow County is just full of perverts. Well, first off, you need to tone back your words a little bit, because I'm here. And there was a time in life I probably would have qualified for that. But they started pointing out, oh, look at how many people are on the sex offender list in your county. Yeah, we caught them. What about your county? Don't tell me they're not there. They're hiding. And there's boys and girls that grow into men and women who are deeply hurt and traumatized because of this. So we're going to take that thing on today. Like I said, it's time to start fighting. And since I can't take the battle to the flesh, we'll go to the spirit realm and we'll pray. Just like we're seeing drug dealers being arrested, mobile meth labs being pulled over just for whatever reason, boom. They're being busted. There's so much stuff, folks. We start praying, you'll see things turn around. That's how this country's going to turn its face back to God. I'll be honest, yeah, political leaders, they can aid in that. But it's Bible says, if my people... Now, I want to point out, it says, will humble themselves and pray. We all think, oh, but I'm humble. Well, I'm going to point out something. Where are you at in prayer time? Just saying. We get together. It's once a month. There was a time in life I made it for all the leaders. Where have we gotten to? Humble ourselves means we put ourselves second or third. When we do what we want all the time, because trust me, I don't want to do it either. I want to go home, sit on my couch, be a couch potato. But God said, keep this up. When we pray and drug dealers are busted, drugs are taken off the streets, people's lives are being changed. And I can't sit back and say, well, God's not doing anything. If God's not doing anything, it's because you're not. We're not. Let me throw it that way. We're not doing anything. We're not doing what we're supposed to do. So let's keep what needs to be dealt with And by the way, praying, we'll pray with this today. And if God tells you to pray throughout the next month about it, you pray about it. But you don't have to get up every day and pray about it. I want people to, we'll talk about prayer, but I want you to understand, you don't have to pray every day over something for this to happen. Bless God, you need to understand what real faith is, what real authority is. Remember the centurion. He said, Lord, all you got to do is say the word. I give an order and I expect the privates to move. And if they don't move, they'll feel my wrath. That's the way it is. Bless God, I just got a revelation of something Paul said. All right. Hallelujah. Let's pray. I'll bless the food as well. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you once again for a glorious day. We thank you for the very life that you have given us, Father. Father, I pray now again that you help every last one of us to continue to grow and walk in the authority you've given us as your people on this earth, and to understand that this authority is never to be abused. Lord, I pray now that as we grow and we continue to move in this, Lord, that you will move mightily, as your word has said, that whatever we ask in the name of Jesus, you would do it. And so, Father, I thank you for these people. I bless them now, Lord, as they go about this week, as they go about life in general. And Lord, we thank you for the time of fellowship we're about to have. Lord, we thank you for the food and every nourishment that will come out of it. Lord, I thank you, and I pray that you bless your in Jesus' name. Amen.